Thanks for listening to the Odd Couple podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weekday from 7 p.m. to 10 p.m. Eastern, 4 to 7 p.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio. Find your local station for the Odd Couple at foxsportsradio.com or stream us live every day on the iHeartRadio app by searching FSR.
Now let's get this party started.
You're listening to Fox Sports Radio.
It is the Odd Couple. I'm Chris. He's Rob. The third hour of our show, and it's going to be a big one. We're coming to you live from the Farmers Insurance Fox Sports Radio studios.
We'll do it
call
live.
1-888-FARMERS to switch, and you can save big time on your auto insurance. What else you going to do with your phone for the next few minutes? Look at pictures of food your friends ate? I'm trying to do it like old boy on the Farmers guy. Call 1-888-FARMERS for a quote.
We are farmers. Bum, ba-dum, bum, 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 bum.
Take that for data.
Thank you, Fizz. All right, we got Brian Lewis from the New York Post. He's the Nets beat writer, Rob. He's coming up next. You know, we've known him for decades.
Wow.
Forever,
and,
man.
Yes.
He's still hanging in there, man,
I know,
at the New York Post. I give him credit, man. Wow. I mean, he's got a – I bet you he's been there 20 years, Chris, right? No?
No, at least, because I went to New York Times in 98. That was, what, 23 years ago.
And he was
there. He's
was
been
there
probably close to 25 years. We'll ask him, but
yeah,
you're right.
He's been there for a long time.
Well, I got a funny, you know, Mark Berman, who covers the Knicks for the New York Times. So
but
I took over the Knicks, but I covered the Nets 98, 99, I guess I took over the Knicks around either 2000 or 2001. But I think this was the summer of 2000, and Berman had been on the beat, the Knicks beat, for maybe a year and so or two. And so, you know, I first get on the Knicks beat. I think we're at Summer League, and I'm, you know, talking to him. Hey, what's up, man, blah, blah, blah. He's like, yeah, I think this will be my last year on the beat.
That was 20-some-odd years ago.
Yes, it was 20 years ago. I'm like, dude, every time I see him, I'm like, dude, I thought you were going to be off the beat like 20 years ago. So, you know, they're lifers there. And we'll get him on at the bottom of the hour. It'll be good to talk to him and preview this big game coming up tonight and see what's going on with the Nets. But first, Rob, let's recap this big blockbuster trade in the NFL. Look, am I 100% convinced that Carson Wentz is going to be righted in Indianapolis? No, but I certainly lean that way. I think everything – he couldn't ask for a better situation. He needed an absolutely fresh start, and that's what he's getting, with a guy who believes in him and Frank Reich, who he's had success with as Reich was the OC in Philadelphia when Wentz was at his best. He's got a running game. He's got an offensive line that protects him. He's got some good receivers. He's got a good defense. I mean, if Carson Wentz can't return to form in Indy – and I'm not saying this year he has to be as good as he was in 2017. But I'd like to see him play really well where you have no doubt he's my quarterback. He's a very good quarterback. And if he can't get back to that, Rob, then he's not getting back to it. Because this is a great situation for him.
Absolutely. Everything is in place. The stuff that he needs, protection in the pocket, a guy who believes in him, a guy who was there, Chris, by his side when he was vying for the NFL MVP. So there's a lot of good things there. They wanted him. I mean, that helps your confidence, you know? So it is stacked up pretty well there. And I think they have a good supporting cast, wide receivers. They run the football, Chris. Their defense is good. There's a lot of good stuff to like. I think it's a match made in heaven.
Yeah, and Philly, look, maybe Jalen Hurts is the guy. Maybe he isn't. There's been reports that they might go ahead and draft a quarterback with the sixth pick of the draft.
Just to be careful, right, just in case.
Yeah, I'm not mad at him if they do. And I'm not saying Jalen's not the guy. What I'm saying is he hadn't shown you enough to know that he is. He just hasn't. I mean, we talk about how bad Wentz's numbers. And, yes, I do think that Jalen gave them a boost, a shot in the arm. There's no question about that. I think, Rob, you know, you hear me talk a lot about intangibles with quarterbacks. He has them in spades, I think. I think he's a leader. I think he's a winner, his personality. I think he can earn the trust and respect of his teammates. I think they believe in him. And he is a playmaker, but he has yet to show you know, he's a surefire quarterback as far as the passing ability and all that comes with that position. So I'm not afraid of a little competition. And the good thing, Rob, I don't think he's afraid of competition. You know, he had it at Alabama with Tua. I think he'll, I don't know about welcome it, but I don't think he'll run from it. And so, you know, let's see what he can do in Philly and see if he's your guy. And if he's not, maybe you end up drafting a guy who is your
right.
guy.
And you said it earlier. What was his completion?
52%
percentage. That's just not good enough.
Right.
That's not good enough.
His passer rating was 77, I believe. Now, he was higher than Wentz. Wentz was 34th in the league, but Jalen would have been 31st, you know, had he qualified.
That ain't that big of a difference, right?
So they both. So we'll see. But let's move on to a little bit of baseball. And Big Poppy, David Ortiz, had a strong comment, Rob, about today's game. Rob G is going to read it for us. And tell us where he said this, Rob G.
Yeah, he did an interview with the Boston Globe. And in a fuller context, he was complaining that hitters in today's game emphasize the home run too much. And as a result, it's making the game very difficult for him to watch. Here's what he said, quote, "To me, it's messed up. The game has changed a lot. Coaches only want kids to hit home runs, and that's all they practice because they want to get paid." He also added later that the game has become about just strikeouts and home runs, which to him is, quote, boring, end quote.
I'm going to say right here, I second Big Poppy. I'm not even going to sit here and try to sugarcoat it, Chris, the style of the game and what's happened. It's just not enough action on the base pass, stealing, hit and run, double in the corner, Chris, a guy's racing around third, right?
Yep.
Throw
yep.
to the plate. It just, there was action, more action. I get the home runs. I'm not against home runs, so I'm not sitting here and saying that, but I don't want it to be a swings and misses or a connection for a long ball only. I think that's why, Chris, you know, who's the biggest star in the game right now and has the swag? Tatis Jr. He's right. not just a home run hitter, Chris. He right. plays defense. He steals bases, right? Doubles, all kinds of stuff. He's a complete player. Action on the base pass. Love watching that guy play. As soon as I can get down to San Diego and take the train down there and watch him in person, I'm there. I want to see more players like that.
I agree with you, Rob. You said it all. I mean, when I remember coming up, you stolen bases.
Yes.
Hit and run. You mentioned hit and run, manufacturing runs. And I'm going to throw this out there, too. And this, I don't know if we'll ever get this back.
Bunting?
Well, yeah, I wasn't thinking about that.
Okay.
But yes,
bunting
to me, it's a legitimate part of the game.
No doubt.
But I was going to say complete games.
Yes.
I mean, now.
We saw that.
Now it's like if you go five innings, Rob, that's good. That's all they're asking from you. And I if a guy's rolling, I'd like to see. I used to love seeing a pitcher have it going and pitch a complete game.
Chris, what do we see in the World Series when Blake Snell is pulled out of the game?
Perfect example. Yep.
Right?
Yep. Perfect example.
He's pitching well. 5 2/3. Oh, wait a minute. We got to take him out because, you know, the third time around, the right. batting average goes up. You know, let's put somebody else in. Let's put in a guy, Chris, who had been getting tattooed all postseason. Let's put him in. Because
that's why, Rob, I was in favor of something like a four-pitch rule or, you know, pitcher rule, something where you just can't, you know, have 7-8 guys. I know there's problems there because if you go in extra innings or, you know, you just need to get a guy out. But something, because it's just too much specialization. And I think the thing with analytics, and it's not just baseball. Basketball, that's why the three-pointer. I mean, now half the shots for some teams are three-pointers now.
Chris, what was the game?
And it's only going to keep increasing.
What was the game the other day where they had 83 three-pointers? Do you remember what game was that?
Was that one team?
That in the game.
Been one
no,
team.
No, no, no. No, in the
that's
game.
That's not uncommon to see.
It was,
I mean,
it was
80,
like 80,
that's a lot.
It was like 83. Rob G, do you remember what game I'm talking about? There was a recent game, and I remember.
Well, you have a couple of teams in the league that averaged about 43-point attempts. So, I believe you do. So, yeah, I could see that happening. But analytics, and this isn't going to happen in basketball because of the nature of the game. But, Rob, one thing, and sports have to be concerned about this. Analytics can take away star power in your sport, particularly baseball, in that if you mentioned pitchers. I mean, how long before the analytics essentially take away the starting pitcher, right? Where you pitch a guy for two innings.
Right.
And then, you know, you go with eight or nine pitchers, you know.
Well, remember, they call it the opener now. He's the opener, Chris. He's not the starter. He's the opener.
Right. And then, so, you know, when Billy Bean Ball and all that, I mean, that glorified the walk, which obviously has value. But, you know, batting averages aren't as important and strikeouts don't matter and all that stuff. That can take away stars. And now you just got a bunch of role players who are, you know, like robots out there. You know, they're just assets and getting on base and getting walked and nobody's really shining. I'm overstating it.
No, I know, but stars. I know what you mean.
But you know what I'm saying? Right. And then even in football, we've seen it with the running back.
Right, the running back is made.
You had one ball carrier, one bell cow, right? Now, very few teams are like that.
Yep.
So you got a couple guys sharing, right? And neither one's a star.
The analytics have changed sports, and it's mind-boggling with it. Three-pointers in basketball, the passing on every down, Chris. You know what I mean?
Right.
That's where we are now. And strikeouts or home runs in baseball. That's where we are. It's across the board. It's not one sport. And I just think that I don't like it. I just would rather there be a little more action. It's okay. I'd love to see a double and a single to score a run, Chris. It don't have to be a home run. How about...
Because you said there's action.
Yeah, there's
if
action going on.
If it's all home runs, what is that? Four, you know...
Four six, times a
six
game
times
that you're jumping
game,
up. Right.
I mean, come on, it's got to be more than that. And the interesting thing, Robin, you know, a lot of the analytics guys, not that you have to be a great athlete to know a sport.
No, but I know what you're going to say.
You know what I mean? They didn't play a lot of them at any level. They're just kind of stat geeks and math nerds and, you know, guys that know the numbers and the science, but they don't know the game. And I think that's an issue, too, because they don't care about what you just said. They just care about the bottom line of are we going to win. And for the record, Rob, we know this in baseball. That's not winning you championships.
No, and I'm glad you brought that up. I was going to say, when I think of two teams, Chris, that are analytics-driven more than any teams, Oakland A's, Tampa Bay Rays. How many championships they got, Chris?
Thank you.
Zero, zero.
Oakland and then don't tell me. Analytics.
Well, the Red Sox, right, before. I mean, the Oakland A's won three World Series in a row in the 70s. They had a great team.
Right.
But I'm talking about, and don't say, well, the Red Sox and the Yankees use it, not to this extreme is what we're talking about. The Red Sox, when they won the World Series, they use analytics, Chris, but they had the highest payroll in baseball.
Right.
They had stars.
And they had a balance, too.
Yes.
They still had a balance. And the Yankees have had these great regular seasons, which
can't
analytics
win in the playoffs.
May help you in, right?
Yep.
But it, you know, it doesn't translate to the playoffs. So, yeah, I'm with you. I agree with Big Poppy. You know, I don't know. I know what the answer is, but I don't know if these teams will do it. You know, maybe some of these analytics guys, Rob, they impress the owners. They really do. They speak their language. They can show them charts and graphics for what they're saying. And that's what these owners can relate to. Because that's what happens in their other businesses. So these are the guys that get the jobs. But, you know, Poppy had a point. All right, 877-99 on Fox. 877-996-6369. Your turn to weigh in. Is Big Poppy right when he says the emphasis on home runs and strikeouts has made baseball boring to watch? Your turn to weigh in with Chris and Rob, the Odd Couple, Fox Sports Radio.
Fox Sports Radio has the best sports talk lineup in the nation. Catch all of our shows at foxsportsradio.com. And within the iHeartRadio app, search FSR to listen live.
Call 1-888-FARMERS and you could save on your auto insurance. What else are you going to do with your phone in the next few minutes? Look at photos of things other people ate? Call 1-888-FARMERS to get a quote.
We are farmers. Bum, 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 bum.
Underwritten by Farmers Truck Fire Insurance Exchanges or affiliate. Products not available in every state.
All right, it is the Odd Couple. Chris and Rob on a TV theme song Thursday. That, of course, the Dukes of Hazzard. And we're coming to you live from the Farmers Insurance Fox Sports Radio Studios. Call 1-888-FARMERS, and you can save a whole lot of something on your auto insurance. We're also brought to you by AutoZone. AutoZone's got more ways for you to start your job your way. That means getting what you need fast. Some jobs just can't wait. Rob, this weekend, or last weekend, my wife needed some wipers, and she needed it fast. It just couldn't wait. And you know what I told her? There's an AutoZone 5 minutes away, babe. Go on over there and they'll take care of you with their free same-day store pickup and their next-day delivery. All that. It's available on over 100,000 parts. And she went over there and they took care of her. AutoZone, nice. Baby. Visit AutoZone.com today and start your job fast. Get in the zone, AutoZone. How's that for a read?
I mean, you got your wife involved. Is she getting a cut?
Take that for a read.
Okay. Take that.
All right, 877-99 on Fox. Let's hear what people got to say, Rob.
No doubt about it. Let's start with John in North Carolina. You're on the Odd Couple Fox Sports Radio. What's up, John?
What's going on, guys? How you doing?
Doing good.
Man. How are you?
Good, except they're killing the game I love, man. I grew up playing baseball.
Yes,
and
I'm with you.
It's so boring anymore. I absolutely agree with Poppy. And, you know, as a player, my favorite part of the game was you would work different sides of the field to watch the infield move to one side or the outfield move to a different side. You know, you had bunters, people that were known for bunting, where they would right. play shorter. And you would try to work the field to get a double or a triple and be able to steal bases.
And, you know what? Let me say this, too, Chris. We forgot this. The shifting, the over-shifting has taken all the hits right. out of the game, right?
Absolutely. That's why, you know, there was talk a few years ago, wasn't it, about outlawing the shift?
They should out – it's overdone. They've studied everything. They know where you hit the ball, Chris, 90% of the time. They moved the infielders around, and they take you out of getting hits. And I think that's hurt the game as well. The shift should be outlawed.
And Rob, that also diminishes your players.
Yes.
Because a person just watching the game, say a casual fan, is obviously in their mind thinking, why don't you just hit it to
the
left
other way.
Field?
Right.
Or the other way, right? Whatever. And it's not that easy.
It ain't that easy.
You know?
It
but it makes your players look worse than they actually are.
Yeah, the shift has not been good for baseball.
No, not at all. But that's a purely analytics thing.
Yeah.
Purely analytics.
Albert in Riverside, California. You're on the Odd Couple Fox Sports Radio. I'm not surprised. I know Albert's a big baseball fan. What's up?
I already know, Rob. Yes. Baseball's almost here.
Yes, sir. Spring training. We love it.
Yes, sir. All right. I agree with Poppy big time, man. Like, look, the home runs, it's getting too ridiculous. Like, I used to love the stolen bases back in the day, yeah. You know, like when the guy would be on first base, the energy would rise up during the playoffs. You'll see if the guy would take off or not, and there'll
right.
be more pressure on the pitcher and yes. the contact guys, like, and all that. But now it's just a home run hitting contest, and it doesn't work. Like, in the playoffs, it doesn't work because it's all analytics. It's all trying to swing for the fences, too many strikeouts. Like, you got to put the ball in play. Like, the teams that win are the ones that put the ball in play, and it's just getting ridiculous with that.
Think about this, Albert. A player like Ricky Henderson, who was mm-hmm. an unbelievable all-around player, Chris, stealing bases, hitting leadoff home runs, hitting for average, a Hall of Famer doing that.
Yep.
He didn't hit 50 home runs.
I think the league leader, I can't remember which league it was. Check it out, Rob G. But I think one of the leagues last year, you look at the stolen bases, and the guys that lead are a lot lower. I know last year was only 60 games, but you know what I mean? Like, Ricky Henderson was stealing 100 bases.
Was stealing 100 bases in a season. Absolutely.
Maury Wills, I mean, Lou Brock. Like, it's just, yeah.
No doubt.
Poppy's right.
Dr. Midnight in Toronto, Ontario, Canada. You're on the Odd Couple of Fox Sports Radio.
Hey, guys. Hope you guys are having a good evening. I just want to say, when you guys do talk about baseball, I can sense a lot of sincerity, and there's a lot of it's very genuine. So on behalf of all the Odd Couple fans, thanks for talking about baseball and just making it sound sincere for all of us there.
You know what, Dr. Midnight?
We love baseball, bro.
We talk more baseball than any other national show in the country.
I think we do.
Period.
I really
Period.
Do. I think we do. Yep.
And you guys, it's not an afterthought. You guys care about us, so it really means a lot for us fans over here. But to get to your question, I completely agree with Big Poppy. Baseball has become too predictable. When someone comes to bat, you pretty much know they're either going to get a home run or they're going to get a strikeout. And, Rob, you hit it on the head with regards to the shift. The shift has taken away a lot from baseball because players right now, I don't know what they're teaching. Baseball is supposed to, with any sort of sport, any sort of skill, you're supposed to evolve with the times. Defenses have evolved by implementing the shifts. Why haven't they? Why aren't they teaching the young players in the minor leagues how to hit against the shift?
Yeah, to hit the other way, right?
They're teaching them to hit homers, launch angle, all that. You know, I mean, really.
No,
you're right. He is right.
He's making a point. No. Right. No doubt about it. Chris, if the left side of the infield, you're a left-handed batter, and everybody's pulled over on the right side, it's wide open. All you got to do is make contact, dribble the ball at third base,
choke
right?
Choke up and,
yes,
and get it.
Yes, you got a double.
Yep.
And then they would stop doing it. But that shift is drives me crazy. Just, it ain't right.
All right, we got Brian Lewis, New York Post, Nets beat writer, coming up in a moment. But first,
be sure to catch live editions of The Odd Couple with Chris Broussard and Rob Parker. Weekdays at 7 p.m. Eastern, 4 p.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio and the iHeartRadio app.
With The Odd Couple coming to you live from the Farmers Insurance Fox Sports Radio studios, call 1-888-FARMERS to switch. And you can save a bundle on your car insurance. This guy, we go way back with him, decades. He's the Nets beat writer for the New York Post, our man Brian Lewis. What up, brother?
Brian.
What's up, bro? How you doing?
Man.
We are good, man. Good to rap with you. We got to get moving because I know you're on the tight deadline. You got the game
coming
up.
But real quick, though, Chris, ask him. We were trying to figure out how long you've worked at the New York Post. Both Chris and I worked in New York. We both worked when we were there in New York.
I met you there in 98.
I haven't been in New York in 100
years. That's at least 23
years. Yes.
How long
have you been there?
I started February 98.
Okay, so 23 years.
Wow, we said exactly. Over 20. That's what we said,
yeah,
over 20.
February 98. Yeah. Remember when didn't they have an All-Star game here in 98, if memory serves me? Right?
Yes. Yes, with
Kyle. I was writing for Newsday then in 98. That's when we
Right. Yep. I started that season, but I started the week after the All-Star game.
Wow.
Well, congrats on that, brother. 23 years, that's a lot.
At the New York Post is incredible.
Right. So let's get into it. Big game tonight. Obviously, we're missing some stars on both sides. Now Dennis Schroeder's not playing. I want to ask you this. The Nets, 10-1. We know they've lost to some bad teams, but they're 10-1 against teams 500 or above. That's the best record in the league. Do you think it's just a matter of them getting up for these games where they know there's good competition and taking these bad teams lightly? Or how do you account for their great record against the elite?
I really believe that. I think when you see them and they're properly motivated and they're appropriately engaged, you see what they can look like. And it's not the offense, right? It's that they actually put forward effort on the defensive end when they know they have to. They know if they don't against the Clippers, right, they're going to get embarrassed. They know if they don't against, whatever, the Bucks, they're going to get humiliated. And they actually are engaged for 48 minutes. Now, you know how it is. You're not going to play 48 minutes of great defense. But they have longer stretches of going without playing bad defense. Let me put it to you that way. They will have longer stretches where they don't embarrass themselves defensively in those games. And then they come into other games where they sleepwalk and they figure, hey, we got these stars. It says Nets on the jersey. We're just going to roll up in there. And people are going to hand us wins. And it took them a while to figure out that's not how it's going to work.
How about the win? I don't want to make too big of a deal over just a game in February. But the game at the Suns, I was impressed. No Kyrie, no Durant, down by 25 at the half or whatever it was. A 40-point fourth quarter, and they held what did they hold Booker, Chris?
40-24. Yep.
40-24 score, and they held Booker. Was he scoreless in the fourth quarter?
Yeah. I think Booker and Payton combined for like 2 points in the fourth
quarter. Right.
That was an impressive win to me when I saw that.
Yeah, I mean, see, now that's another game where we're talking about it wasn't like they truly scored their way into winning that game. They're pretty vanilla defensively, right? Steve Nash, he just got desperate, and he threw a bunch of stuff up against the wall at halftime, hoping some of it would stick. You know, he started switching 1 through 5, which, you know, we all know DeAndre doesn't generally switch.
Right.
Right? He tried that. He threw zone in. He tried everything. And once they got a toehold and some of it started working and they started getting the confidence, you know, hey, things started steamrolling. And the Suns, as good as the Suns are and as good as I think we all believe they will be, you know, they don't have a lot of experience in closing out those type of games against those type of players. And you see the end result. But, yeah, that was probably, as impressive a win as they've had all season.
You mentioned the defense, and obviously that's the challenge for this team. What is their – like, first of all, we know Nash and D'Antoni, they can talk all they want, but they're not really defensive guys. That's an understatement. Is M.A. Udoka kind of their defensive coach, and are they letting – like, are they focusing on defense the way they should be? And what kind of is their philosophy there? Because I do hear them talking a lot about it post-game. Right. Kyrie, Harden. Are they really taking it that seriously?
I mean, I think the coaching staff would love to get them to take it seriously. Not that they don't need to be the bad boys, but you just have to not be incompetent. You just can't be historically bad. If they're mediocre, they're going to be terrifying. If they're just mediocre – if you, whatever, 15th, 18th, 17th.
Right. Middle of
like
the pack.
So, yeah, Udoka does run a lot of that. And so does Jacques also.
Okay.
Those two are probably the guys that you're leaning on the most on that staff defensively. It's not Mike, and it's not Steve. So, yeah, those two are the two that you're leaning on defensively.
Go ahead, Rob.
Yeah, I was going to ask you about James Harden and his excelling at the point guard. Man, has he played great. Come in, understood, you know, he was asking to come to join two other big stars. People were saying, oh, there's not enough basketballs for all three of them. And he has been a godsend and has made it all work for everybody, hasn't he?
Yes. I mean, here's the thing. When you look, I mean, he averaged, you know, I don't know, maybe 24 shots 2 years ago, 22 and change last year. He's perfectly happy averaging 15 shots. He's perfectly happy with that. And they put the ball in his hand. Now, listen, this whole thing about Kyrie coming out saying, yeah, I looked at you and I said the point you're – when Harden got here, Kyrie was out anyway.
Right.
So he's – and – realistically, he's been the point guard. But the difference is, it's good that everybody is accepting the role. Nobody's chafing. And it puts everybody in the spot that they should be in. Kyrie gets to get in his bag and do what he needs to do and score, right? Harden, I mean, this is a guy that, I mean, it's not like he hasn't led the league in assists before anyway. It's not like he hasn't shown court vision before anyway. And everybody on that team, if you look all up and down the starting lineup, everybody is averaging career numbers efficiency-wise.
Right.
Everybody. And that's largely, part of it is the gravity of having so many other good players. But a lot of that is having a guy like James Harden, who makes all these guys around him, they're all better. And their job is easier. And that even includes superstars like KD and Kyrie.
Brian, we know you got to run, man.
He's been vital.
Yep.
We appreciate the knowledge, my man. Enjoy the game tonight. Keep up the great work.
And keep doing your thing, man. Appreciate you.
Anytime, man.
All right, brother. Peace. Charles Barkley took another shot at Draymond Green this week. We'll tell you what he said next. It's the Odd Couple, Fox Sports Radio.
Horrible, horrible, and really bad.
Fox Sports Radio has the best sports talk lineup in the nation. Catch all of our shows at foxsportsradio.com. And within the iHeartRadio app, search FSR to listen live.
It's the Odd Couple, Chris and Rob, wrapping up a TV theme song Thursday. Coming to you live from the Farmers Insurance Fox Sports Radio Studios. Call Farmers today for a quote. Now, we know some of the big news this week was Draymond Green unsolicitedly going on a rant about how players aren't treated fairly in the NBA and how there's a double standard with the owners, the team owners, and the players. There's a double standard with most employers.
Yes, and employees. They do have the upper hand, yes, because they're paying you, yes. They set the rules, Chris, and we have to follow them, right? Or you go start your own business.
It is true, right.
Come on, let's just be honest.
No doubt, yes. I mean, and look, we can talk about fans jumping on players. Like I said it on Undisputed the other day. In the lockout, fans tend to side with billionaire owners over millionaire players.
Right.
I think a lot of that's because they know because the players are in their face. Their players' contracts are advertised.
And they don't know who the owners are. They can't relate to the owners like from the standpoint of like everybody played ball at some point. So they go, what do these guys want? I would play for free. You know what I mean? And they don't look at it from the business side or these guys. They can't relate to the owners who are billionaires. They really can't.
Right. And they don't think much about the owners, to be honest.
No, and I think that's why they come down on players, because everybody feels like, I could have been in the league. I was good. You know what I mean? I would be playing for $100,000. Right. I don't need $10 million.
Right.
It's unrealistic.
So I get pointing out those double standards. Why don't the fans think more about the teams like that or the owners? But, yeah, I mean, look, we all work for an employer who calls the shots for the most part. So that's just life. All right, anyway, Charles Barkley was asked about his thoughts on what Draymond said on the Bill Simmons podcast. Here's what he said.
Oh, can I hang on?
I think Draymond has to really be careful. All that stuff is cute when you're winning. But when you're in last place, it's annoying. They're trying to protect their asset, and they're going to trade him. So you don't want a guy making $30 million on your cap if he gets hurt for the next couple of years. So they're doing what's best for them. But I think Draymond has got to start learning to understand. You can say what you want to when you're the champs in first place. When you're in last place, you become the guy who becomes annoying.
Right. But at the same time, of all the guys in this generation, he's the one that most reminds me of you 30 years ago with how outspoken you were. I mean, it's probably something you would have done 30 years ago.
Well, I think there's a difference. The difference between me is he's on a really good team. I was a great player. There's a double standard on that. When you're a great player, you say and do what you want to do. When you're on a good team, you can say and do what you want to do. But when you're in last place, you have to stand down. He hasn't learned that yet.
Here's where I disagree with Barkley. I agree that typically the great players, the superstars, or guys on championship teams can talk. But I think Draymond has his brand, because of their winning and because he's been outspoken for years, even if, I mean, they're not in last, they're the seventh seed right now in the West. But Draymond has built his brand up to the point, Rob, where he can say these things. You might agree or disagree with him, but I think Draymond has branded himself as a guy that we want to hear from on certain issues. So that's where I disagree with Barkley on that.
Yeah, I don't know. I think Draymond, individually isn't in the class with the other guys.
No, he's
individually,
not.
And he's got to be attached to the team. And I get what Barkley's saying. Like, if he's a part of that winning thing, then, yeah, he has way more clout than if he was just Draymond Green, the basketball player, by himself. And I think I think that's what Barkley's saying. I get what you're saying, too, Chris, that he has.
It's not like it was
he can't
Alex
say anything.
Caruso.
Right, right.
Or Dennis Schroeder saying something. You know what I mean?
No, I get it. But do you know what I'm saying, too, about where he, where's the pecking order and where he fits in?
Right. I get that. That's obvious. And look, right. We'll see. He may be a Hall of Famer because it was fashionable. Even I said it year, you know, a few years ago when they were the dynasty to say he was a Hall of Famer.
I don't know if it's automatic now.
Right. I mean, we'll see. You know, it may be because of the winning, maybe not. But obviously, he's not a terrific individual player. But I think, Rob, he does have enough of a brand where we want to hear from him. Don't you? Wouldn't you agree? Like I said, it's not, you know, Fred VanVleet. You know, who's a good player, but you know, we don't look for him to him for stuff like this.
No, I agree that we have heard from him over the years and whatnot. So I do feel that it's not out of the realm of, like, it's shocking that Draymond Green said something. No, we're not there.
Right. And it was interesting. I don't know if you thought about LeBron's comments where LeBron said he co-signed it. But I don't know that he really did as much as he said. Because he was asked, well, what can be done to change it? And he said, well, I don't know if players really want change. They just want you to understand there's two sides to the coin. Yeah, which I get. But they don't. But what change do they need?
But the two sides of the coin, they're talking about maybe what the fans are saying. What Barkley said is real, Chris. You're trying to hold on to your asset, right? Like you don't want an injured guy who you're trying to move for 2 years. You can't tell me LeBron's a businessman and these players have businesses.
Absolutely.
And nobody, Chris, nobody.
The average employer isn't telling them how to run undisputed or uninterrupted.
It's just not happening. I think that's where they're unrealistic.
No, absolutely. Because you work for the NBA or what team you play for. That is your employer. I mean, Rob, we're here at Fox Sports Radio. They could say to us, look, Chris, we're taking you off the radio for the next week and we'll let you know from, you know.
Yes.
Going forward whether or not we want to bring you back. Right. But I can't just say, you know what, I'm going to take the next 2 weeks off and I'll let you guys know when I'm coming back.
Yeah, right. You might not have a gig when you come back or you're in violation of your contract, right?
Yes.
And they rip it up. Yeah.
And we all understand that. So, again, man, come on. I'm not saying there aren't aspects. Yeah, if a player gets traded and shocked by the news, that's unfortunate. But there are aspects of every job that are unfortunate for people. You know what I mean? And for the most part, you got it good. Am I wrong? It's the Odd Couple, Chris and Rob. We'll talk to you tomorrow. Peace!